Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Waco Fire Chief Gregory Summers. Hosting the conversation is KWBU President Joe Riley.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, talking today with Gregory Summers, Chief for the Waco Fire Department. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
You are the city's fire, Waco City Fire Department's eighth chief in the history of the fire department. Did I read that right?
That is correct.
So that's in the history of Waco, in the history of the fire department, they've only had, including you, eight chiefs.
Wow, yes.
Puts you in quite a line there. You've only been there since?
March the 30th was my first day.
March 30th.
Yes.
Wow, what a time to come.
Right.
So diving straight in, tell us a little bit about how you made that move.
Well, I spent 35 years in the fire service. All of them in Little Rock, the last 10 as a fire chief there. Retired in February 2018 and I felt like I was ready to retire. One of my fraternity brothers told me when I accepted this position, he said, "Man, you failed miserably at retirement." But I had a love for the fire service, and this opportunity came available. I looked at the city of Waco, I looked at its fire department, and of course my wife's a big fan of HGTV, so Chip and Joanna probably played a part in it as well. But it was a good move. I've been excited about the opportunity, and still to this day, as a matter of fact, September the 30th of this will be 6 months exactly.
6 months.
Yes.
First air, you just mentioned, as we were putting this together, and this is being recorded a little ahead of time, but this first air of this conversation is taking place on 9/11 of 2020. And I don't know what that calls up for you, but as a fire chief, that must be a significant date.
It is. You talk about 343 firefighters, or public safety officers from multiple disciplines, whether it be fire, police, lost their lives trying to save individuals. So I recall that day like it was yesterday. I was sitting, just asked me what did I have for breakfast early before we got on the air. And I was at breakfast at the Holiday Inn Airport in Little Rock with some other colleagues. And you saw this image up on the screen of planes crashing into high-rise buildings. And, of course, we thought it was just a movie. It just looked so surreal. And I remember that as though it was yesterday, and finding out that this was actually attacked upon the United States was somewhat concerning for us.
Mm. Well, concerning for all of us, and I know especially in your community, it's a special time to remember. Let's back up a little bit. You're from Arkansas?
That is correct, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And so you spent your whole life there before coming to Waco?
Well, I really grew up in a town about 40 miles south of Little Rock, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Graduated from high school in 1978. Went into the military, got out of the military in 81, and started working for the fire department in 1983, April 1st, 1983.
What led you to want to be a firefighter?
It's interesting that you would ask that question. When I got out of the military, I picked up a few jobs, and I was enrolling in college, and my dad told me, he said, "Look, you need to go down to the convention center complex in Pine Bluff and apply for the police or the fire department. You know, you need a real job." And so that's when I found out that the Little Rock Fire Department was hiring for firefighters. So as I was enrolling in college, I also applied for the position of firefighter for the city of Little Rock. And doing all the paperwork, and the particular grants that you apply for, Pell grants, my paperwork didn't go through. So in the context of correcting that paperwork, I got an offer to become a Little Rock firefighter. So I took that offer in 1983, April 1st, as a matter of fact, 1983, and rose up through the ranks and became the fire chief in January 2009.
Now, did you have your eye on moving that high when you first started?
I didn't. I didn't even have my eye on being a firefighter. You know, most people tell you that they grew up wanting to be firefighters. Well, I wasn't exposed to the fire service as a kid. I looked at it, you know, when I did see it, as a dangerous occupation. My dad worked for what's called Encore here, the equivalent in Arkansas would be Energy. At the time, it was Arkansas Power and Light. And he provided a good living for his family. And I'll never forget that first paycheck that I got from the fire department. I was so excited. I took it home and I showed it to my dad. And he said, boy, they take more money out of my check than you make. And I was like, well, that's pretty encouraging. But still, it was more money than I ever made. But yeah, for 35 years, I spent in Little Rock.
Mm. What stands out along the way in terms of what you learned as a firefighter, and maybe did you have any mentors along the way?
Yes, I did. The first African American fire chief in Little Rock, a gentleman by the name of Floyd Burns, who just celebrated his 80th birthday a few weeks ago. He was a mentor for what he went through, what he had to deal with when he first started in 1969, and coming up through the ranks and becoming a captain within the organization. And then you look at how the fire service has transcended from 1983. When I came on, we used to ride on the tailboard of the fire truck. And eventually we got a strap to lock in on the tailboard. But now you don't ride on the, you know, you ride within the enclosed cab now. So those things have changed tremendously. You know, cancer wasn't as prevalent in the fire service as it is now. And so firefighters going into burning structures without the breathing apparatus was pretty common. As a matter of fact, they used to call them smoke eaters. And if you couldn't go into a building filled with smoke without your SCBA on, then they considered you to be a wimp of a firefighter. Well, that's unheard of today, you know. The soot and the carcinogens that you exposed to on a daily basis, we're fighting that effort now, especially as fire chiefs across the country, labor organizations, making sure that we've got cancer prevention for our firefighters now.
It sounds like your father also was an influence in your life.
He definitely was an influence in my life. Unfortunately, he passed away at an early age, 47, from inoperable lung cancer. But yeah, he was definitely an influence in my life and my brothers and sisters' life.
Tell us about the Waco Fire Department. You've come here, and you must have known, you did some research and found out something. What is the, you know, I think most people here who don't come in contact with the Waco Fire Department on a daily basis, and maybe that's a good thing that we don't come into contact mm-hmm. with the fire department on a daily basis, but I'm not sure we realize what the job entails or what the department entails. Tell us about the Waco Fire Department.
Well, I can tell you, you know, you said doing your research about the organization. Waco is a very good, they have a good fire department, or we have a good fire department. And when I was doing my background on the organization, you know, I believe fire departments, fire stations are extensions to the community. And I looked at what did Waco firefighters do within their community. And you looked at the various food drives, you know, canned food drives that they do. They did a first responder relay. They did a number of things. But the one thing that kind of stood out to me, and when I tell people this, they was like, really? They have an adopt-a-dog program. program to where they work with the animal shelter, and they have a dog come by the fire station and promote adopting dogs. We're big on helping people in the community, but the Waco firefighters, they want to step above just helping people. We're helping animals as well. So that just kind of stood out to me about their involvement within the community itself. And then looking at just obtaining the insurance services class 1 classification, which regulates businesses and residential insurance rates, that's a huge accomplishment. So I saw that as being attractive and an opportunity to come in and build upon that, because I believe that, you know, Waco can be not just a good organization but a great department. But in order for it to go from good to great, as a fire chief, I've got to have not only the people on the bus, but I've got to have them in the right seat. So that's what my evaluation period has been about, is identifying those individuals to make sure that they're not only on the bus, but they're in the right seat as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting, the idea of working with the adopted dog. Do the fire stations have dogs?
That, you know, that is a, you see that with the Dalmatian, you know, but really, there are some fire departments that will have pets like that, but I don't know where that really came from, but that Dalmatian is a pretty dog to be at the fire station, but you have to look back at the history of how that really evolved.
How many fire stations are there in Waco?
Yep, 13.
13?
Yes.
13. I knew about 12. I didn't realize there were 13.
Yeah.
I knew about 12 because as I drive around town, there's numbers on all of them, so I see where
right,
they all are.
There's some, yeah. Where is Station 14, too, though?
Okay.
So, Where's
Station 14?
Station 14 is out trying to get my, you know, I've just been here 6 months now, so it's out going toward off 84.
Okay.
Far out 84.
Okay.
84 West.
And so the Waco Fire Department provides fire protection how far out?
We do have what's called mutual aid agreements. And if there's a neighboring fire department that needs some assistance, we'll help them provide that assistance with them.
Okay. Because I know that there are a number of places around that work with volunteer fire departments.
Right.
And the cities themselves, if they are cities, you know, some are just communities, but they'll have volunteer fire departments.
And if they need assistance, they reach out to the closest department. And if Waco happened to be that department, we offer up that mutual aid assistance.
What kind of training do you provide, does your department provide for firefighters?
All firefighters have to have their Firefighter 1 and their Firefighter 2 and their emergency medical technician certification prior to even sitting to take the test in Waco.
So all firefighters are EMTs?
All firefighters are EMTs. The medical calls represent about 85% of what we do. Fires in itself nationwide, and even more so here in Waco, less than 1% of what we do is fight fire. So we're more of an all-hazards agency. We do hazmat, we do high-angle rescue, water rescue. So we do a multiple of disciplines in this particular organization.
Less than 1%?
Less than 1%, and that's a testament to the fire prevention measures that we take throughout the country.
Well, what fire prevention measures do you take here in Waco?
Well, we do smoke alarms, smoke detectors. We do fire inspections themselves, and I'm getting ready to initiate a home safety fire inspection upon request. So we'll be able to go out and tell you at your particular residence, you know, what you may need to do. Maybe you need to trim the vegetation around your home, keep it back some. So those are just some of the measures that we take, fire prevention measures that we take within the community.
For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Joe Riley, talking today with Gregory Summers, the chief for the Waco Fire Department. And we've been talking about the department itself and the training. And how many firefighters are there?
There are 209 firefighters, and that includes those individuals at the fire stations and administrative staff.
So this is a 24-hour-a-day operation. So how many are working round the clock of that 200?
Per day, we have a minimum staffing of 53. So we're going to have at least 53 people on duty every day working 24 hours.
So it's a 24-hour shift.
24-hour on, one day on, 2 days off.
Okay. Okay.
So it's 365 days a year, 24/7.
In terms of what you see in the Waco community, and I'm still just blown away by 1%.
1%.
Fires, and the rest is all
EMS calls,
other things,
false alarms, you know, hazmat calls, spills, car accidents on the interstate, water rescues, possible drownings, flooding. We do rescues.
Well, then how is the fire department equipped? I mean, what we're used to seeing are the great big red trucks. How's the fire department equipped?
Well, we've got the aerial truck, the ladder truck. We've got the engines, and we've got a hazmat unit. We've got a dive unit as well. So we're very well equipped.
A dive unit.
Yes, that's basically going to be, in most instances, body recovery. Someone drowns, and we've got a dive team that can go and retrieve that body. Now, we do have immediate response capabilities, too, to help assist somebody and rescue someone. But that's not normally done by the dive team itself.
Mm-hmm. I want to back up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading just a little bit about you before you came. At Little Rock, your department achieved, you're going to have to explain what these are, but ISO Class 1 and international accreditation through the Center for Public Safety Excellence. And it said that's a dual distinction that's held by only 0.29% of all fire departments in the United States.
That is correct. So the insurance services offices regulates your homeowner's insurance. And if you got a Class 1 fire department, then your homeowner's insurance rates go down. And it does the same thing for businesses. The accreditation piece, there are roughly 30,000 fire departments in the United States. As of this date, only 85 fire departments have that distinction of being ISO 1 and accredited, international accreditation. So my goal as a fire chief here in Waco is to put Waco in that number as well.
Well, that was my next question about where Waco falls in that. What does Waco Fire Department need to do to achieve that?
I can tell you what we did and what I see here. It took me as a fire chief roughly 7 years to accomplish that in Little Rock. It's a lot of data, a lot of documents that you've got to obtain. You got to provide information to the agency, but Waco is well ahead of that game, looking at what we've got in place now, even before I got here, on being able to extract data from different modules, whether it be our staffing module, our records management system, our fire alarm dispatch capabilities. All of that is well in line. That information is already there. So it's not going to take us that long to get it done here. Putting somebody in place to oversee that, an accreditation manager, is at the top of my list. I've already identified that individual. And once again, identifying those people, not only putting them on the bus, make sure you got them in the right seat. So I've identified that individual to take us, to help us get to that point here in Waco. So probably in 2021, we'll begin launching those three steps to getting that accreditation. And it's a process that's going to take us anywhere from 3 to 5 years. My goal is to get it done within 3.
Wow. Well, we look forward to that. And you say that's going to result in lower insurance rates.
Well, you already got the lower insurance rate. What that's going to result in, the accreditation model is a continuous improvement model. So it's going to make sure that we stay at the cusp, right? It's going to make sure that we stay above where we need to be. It's going to make sure that we understand what it is that we do as an organization, and it's also going to identify to our leaders, whether it's the mayor, the city manager, and his staff, of what Waco Fire Department has done to attain this and what we need to do to maintain it.
How long does an accreditation period last? When you're accredited, how long does that stand before you need to be reaccredited?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
So every 5 years you go through this process.
Every 5 years you go through the process. But once you attain the accreditation, now you got to maintain it. By maintaining it, so when you go pick up that plaque, when you pick up that accreditation plaque from the international, from CPSC, when you come back, you celebrate that you've achieved it. But the next day, you start the process of maintaining that accreditation.
Well, it's a very impressive thing that that Little Rock achieved that dual distinction.
There's no doubt in my mind that Waco will be in that number.
How do you work with other departments within the city, in the public safety realm? How do you work together with others in the city?
That's critically important, in so much that, you know, there are roughly 25 agencies in Waco, departments in Waco, and you have to be able to work with each individual department, whether it's the Ranger Museum, whether it's Public Works, Parks, Finance. You have to be able to work well. And we've got Wiley and Bradley, they develop a very good team, and it's not hard at all to work with those individuals at all. So those working relationships have been built over a period of time, and I believe that it was important. I felt like I was a good fit for Waco, but Waco needed to determine if I was a good fit for Waco. And me being here would suggest that I am a good fit for Waco. So fitting into that piece of that puzzle hadn't been a problem at all.
Have you started building relationships beyond the city of Waco with the county and the state?
Well, yes, we've had some. As a matter of fact, I've got a call in right now to the fire chief in Hewitt, and then I've been to surrounding departments, whether it be Temple, some of those departments, Bell Mead, and establishing those relationships as well.
Walk us through that a little bit. How important is that to have those relationships with other municipalities and in the surrounding area?
Relationships are the lifeblood of the fire service. And if you don't have good relationships, you never know when you might need a particular agency at all. You never know when you might need that agency. So you have to have those relationships. You never know when you might need to provide some type of service, or they might provide some type of service for you. And if you got that communication with that particular leader within that organization, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. I think back on some of the things that have happened. It was before your time, but I'm sure you've heard of some of the stories of emergencies, situations that have happened in the area, one being the town of West.
Yeah, and, I was familiar with that.
And all these situations which are beyond what one organization can mm-hmm. handle, and they need help. And I would assume there are times where Waco may need help as well.
And I'm quite certain that those agencies will be more than willing to provide that service.
Do you see any risks that need to be watched in Waco?
You say risk. I mean, you know, we need to make sure that, Waco is a growing community. It's going to continue to grow. So that being said, we need to make sure that we got adequate fire coverage throughout the city of Waco. In those areas that we don't have that protection, we need to either provide automatic aid agreements with those communities. So in other words, if it's an automatic aid agreement, that means that when we're dispatched, they're dispatched as well, automatically dispatch them so that we can make sure that we have that response times and that parameter that we need to be in. What we need to do, we need to be able to get 15 people on the scene within 8 minutes, 90% of the time. And we can do that in quite a few areas right here in Waco. But when you look at outside areas, whether fire departments out there by themselves. We need to make sure that we got those automatic aid agreements.
That's an interesting number. Looking at that, giving those specific goals, mm-hmm. number of people on the scene in a specific amount of time. What does it take to make a good leader? You have observed other leaders, and you've certainly been a leader for many years yourself. What does it take to be a good leader?
You got to be able to listen, and you got to be able to understand that you're not always right. And I don't like to surround myself with people that always agree with me. I need somebody that doesn't necessarily agree with me. Because I have a strong belief that if two people always agree, one of them's not needed. If I got somebody right there beside me, whatever I say, they agree with it. I mean, I need somebody to say, "Wait, Chief, you know, I like that idea, but I think if we look at it from this perspective as opposed to that perspective." Now, if I agree with my philosophy is this: come to me with not a complaint, but if you find an issue, come to me with the issue and a solution. And if I agree with your solution, I'm going to pick it up like it was mine and we're going to run with it. But if I don't agree with your solution and I feel more favorable about mine, then my expectation is for you to take my solution as though it was yours and let's run with it.
Hmm. You talked about some specific thoughts about your vision for the future in a general sense. What's your vision for the future for Waco and Waco Fire Department?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, definitely accreditation piece. I want professional development to be at the forefront of everybody's mind. In other words, I want to be able to develop individuals within the organization to lead. My goal is when I leave Waco, your fire chief is right here waiting to take that position. And I don't think that if you develop your people from within, you don't necessarily have to look from outside to bring somebody in. But you've got to be able to develop from within. That's my goal, is to make sure that the city management has the opportunity to look at someone from within the organization to lead the organization.
You have advice that you give to your people?
Most certainly. Most certainly.
In terms of developing those leaders within your organization.
Exactly. And you know, we're gonna have people that don't agree, and you know, you got labor on one side and you got management on the other side, and the two don't always come to the same conclusion, or the two don't always agree. But we must maintain mutual respect and professionalism at all times.
Well, we're glad to have you here. I want to welcome you to Waco, and glad for this chance to get to know you just a little bit. Chief Gregory Summers of the Waco Fire Department, I'm happy that you've joined us for this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
This conversation was recorded September 8th, 2020 in the KWBU studio.